I'm sad I'm missing Fantasy in F minor, op 49.
Oh, that's my favourite of all the F minors.
This is an Ant Podcast Management production. Hello, and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast. I'm Amy.
And I'm Nick. We've been together since 2008.
And instead of saving for our future, we spent all our money on travelling.
What is a pension and should I have one?
Strap in as we take you on adventures around the world.
From the high mountaintops to reporting from under the deep blue.
There isn't anywhere we won't take you.
Where are we off to today then, Amy?
Today, we're off to Warsaw in Poland.
Hello and welcome to What the Faux, a travel podcast with Nick and Amy.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for another episode. Now, if you like learning about new places around the world, then you've come to the right place. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Poland.
Nick, do we have any shout outs for this episode?
We've got a good one this month. Yeah, this is where we highlight some of our listeners who get in touch with us. We got a great message from an Instagram account called Rebuilding Joy. And The message said, "Hey guys, I listened to my first episode of your podcast, the one on Ecuador, and I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed it. You two have such cute rapport."
Thanks.
And I smiled and giggled so many times. That's what we like. That's what we try to do. Also, my kids and I are heading to Ecuador for a month in October, and all of these tips were incredibly helpful. Thank you so much for taking the time to put this out into the world. That's a nice message.
Oh, that is nice, because, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, but we're happy to do it. And as long as we're inspiring you, that's our main aim. And Ecuador is amazing as well. Like, you've chosen a good country there. It's just so nice, really cheap, a great place to take kids, lots of adventurous things to do. So yes, great choice. So as we said on this episode, we're going to be talking about Poland. Now, we've actually been to Poland, I think, 3 times each. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so we've both been to Krakow or Krakow twice. And for this trip, where we travelled with the tourism board, we went to Warsaw, the capital. So we're mainly going to be talking about Warsaw, but, you know, in our features, as usual, in general, we will be talking about Poland in terms of facts and language, things like that.
And stick around for the end of this episode, because we have a big announcement on our next destination for the podcast.
Let's move on. Right, so we've had shout outs. That surely means it's time for Game Show Facts.
It is my favourite part of the show, and I think I've come across my favourite fact about any country that I've ever found before.
Really?
So I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. You're probably going to do that annoying thing that you do where you're like, well, that's no big deal. But I found my favourite fact, so strap yourselves in.
Okay, let's go for it.
Poland, officially the Republic of Poland, is a country in Central Europe. It is divided into 16 administrative provinces. Poland has a population of around 38 million and is the 5th most populous member state of the European Union. Warsaw is the nation's capital and largest city. Although part of the EU, Poland's currency is the Polish zloty, not the euro. During World War II, Warsaw was almost completely destroyed and had to be rebuilt. The invasion of Poland by Nazi Germany in 1939 marked the start of World War II. Between 1952 and 1989, Poland was ruled by a communist government established after the Soviet Red Army's takeover of Polish territory. University is free in Poland. Poland is home to the world's biggest castle.
Was that your favourite fact?
No, that's nothing compared to what's coming up. Vodka originated in Poland. This fact, however, is hotly debated by Russians. Poland is home to the oldest working salt mine in the world, and we've been there. If you're ever in Poland and want to catch up on some of your favourite movies or TV shows from back home in another country, you might want to think again, as it can be a dreadful experience. This is because foreign language films are not dubbed by actors, but by one single man who dubs the dialogue for all the characters, including women and children. The national colours of Poland are red and white. The red is for love, sacrifice and bravery, and the white is for goodness and pure intentions. And finally, people from all over the world come to Poland each year to attend the biggest outdoor festival in Europe, known as the Pole and Rock Festival. The music festival sees an average of 600,000 people, and it's free to attend!
Very nice. So I'm guessing the dubbed one is your favourite fact of all time.
Yeah, imagine watching a film and every single character, man, woman or child, is dubbed by the same person. How did he get that gig?
That is so weird though. Yeah, like, is he friends with the Prime Minister or the President there?
I hope that's true. There's a chance that that could just be lost in translation, or maybe that used to happen, but I've found it on the internet. I hope it's true because that's hilarious and I want to watch one of those movies.
Oh, that is a good fact. I think, yeah, I feel like it lived up to what you said. It could, yeah, your favourite fact. I get it. Yeah. Nice.
I love
nice
how
work.
It starts. It's like, if you want to watch your favourite film from back home, don't bother because it might be a dreadful experience. All right, let's move on, shall we?
What's next? I think we've got a bit of language lessons, haven't we?
I have an my own Instagram and so on, but it's not working.
That's Isa. She's going to be helping a lot on this episode. So let's learn some Polish. How hard can it really be? Fortunately, Isa is here to help. Let's start with the easiest one, I'm guessing. How would you say hello in Polish?
Hello. Oh, no, it's not so easy. Hello is cześć.
Okay, cześć.
Very good.
Okay, because like, yeah, most languages is hey, hello. Like, oh,
sometimes
it's very different.
We also say hey, but hey, you would say to a friend, not when you are, you know, entering the restaurant. Usually, you will say dzień dobry on this occasion. So good morning would be dzień dobry, and hey or cześć would be when you are talking to a friend, to someone who you know. Or just to young people, you know, or you are going to a pub, probably you can say hey or cześć and it will be okay.
Okay. And then how do you say thank you?
Dziękuję.
Oh, okay. I think we've been saying it a little bit wrong. I've been saying dziękuję. Is that wrong?
Okay, but I can perfectly understand you. Dziękuję is good.
Okay, so how do you say it again?
Dziękuję.
Dziękuję.
Aha, better. Whoa, that's better.
That sounded perfect.
Perfect. Yes.
Is jak się masz? Is that something in
jak się masz? Jak się masz? How do you do? Jak się masz?
Do you know the TV film Borat?
Yes, of course. I know.
Why does he speak Polish?
I have no idea. No connections with Poland at all. Maybe he wanted to say something difficult. I don't know.
Because in the show, he's in Kazakhstan and they don't speak Polish.
No,
there.
Not at all.
No. Strange. So if somebody wanted to order a beer, how would they say, can I have a beer, please?
Czy mogę prosić o rachunek? Or much simpler, poproszę o rachunek.
Poproszę?
Yes.
What was the
o rachunek.
O rachunek.
Yes, wow. Very good. Rachunek, it's a bill, yes? Mm-hmm. So rachunek please, rachunek poproszę would be, yes, the shorter version.
Okay. And did you say bill or beer? Like the drink, beer?
No, the bill.
Oh, you're saying the bill. Yeah. So you mean like la cuenta, por favor. That's
la
what you're saying.
La cuenta, por favor, yes. Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
It's a beer to drink.
Yeah, like
a beer?
Yeah, how would you say, can I have a beer?
Can I have a beer? Czy mogę prosić o piwo?
Wow, okay.
So what word is
or piwo poproszę. Piwo. It's with W.
And what? That is what beer is.
P-I-W-O. It's it's beer. Yes, okay. It means beer. Piwo.
Cool. Wow. And cheers?
Cheers. Na zdrowie.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all heard that one. Na zdrowie.
Na zdrowie.
Na zdrowie.
It's similar in the Russian language, but it's completely different alphabet, so... yeah, only some words are a little bit similar. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and my final question is, do you have a saying that's very Polish? For example, in England, we would say, if we didn't like something, we might say, that's not my cup of tea. Do you have something that's very, like a very Polish saying?
Okay, I will think and I will come back to it later, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cut.
Okay, so after some thought, because I sprung the question on you,
yes.
You've now had a little think about a Polish saying.
Yeah.
Which is?
Which is, I wouldn't have my hand cut off for that. It means that I'm not pretty sure about what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say that in Polish?
In Polish, nie dałabym sobie ręki uciąć.
Okay, can we do it syllable by syllable?
Yes. Nie dałabym.
Nie dałabym
sobie,
sobie
ręki,
ręki
uciąć.
Uciąć.
Oh, you are great, really.
That was difficult.
Yeah, yeah, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Your pronunciation is perfect.
Oh, wow.
So as we said at the start of this episode, we're focusing mainly on Warsaw, but yeah, we have been to Poland before. We've been to Krakow or Krakow, however you like to pronounce it. And there are some differences between Krakow and Warsaw. What I would mention about Krakow is it's a smaller city, more historic. That's only because a lot of Krakow or Krakow wasn't destroyed in World War II, whereas Warsaw was. So everything had to be rebuilt. So in Krakow, you can see a lot more of the original old architecture. It's got a really beautiful, breathtaking square, actually, very beautiful. And you can pretty much walk everywhere. It's very easy to get around on foot. It's a much smaller city. And you probably get more tourists in Krakow. The numbers are similar, but when you add in kind of business tourism, which Warsaw gets a lot of, you could say tourism is quite similar. But yeah, most people might go to Krakow for like a weekend of sightseeing. There's something very famous and popular you can do as a day trip from Krakow, isn't there, Amy?
Yeah, I'm guessing you're talking about Auschwitz.
I am, yeah.
Yeah. You sounded a little positive as you were saying it, because yeah, it's strange to say, but it is popular. I've actually been there twice, and I tell you why. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about here, Auschwitz is a concentration camp that was a complex of over 40 concentration and extermination camps operated by Nazi Germany in occupied Poland during World War II and the Holocaust. So as we said, you can easily do a tour from Krakow. I think you'll be on a bus for at least an hour from what I remember. But I mean, we went there about 5-6 years ago now. But yeah, like I say, I've been there twice. So the first time we went because it was somewhere we wanted to go. We felt it was important to really understand our history, particularly me being, I know that my family background, I am Romani Gypsy, and they were some of the victims that were killed in the concentration camps along with Jewish people. I mean, there was loads of different subgroups, but yeah, Romani Gypsies were some of them. The second time I went was because of my nan and granddad. So they lived during this time, but they didn't see anything on TV, and you know, they heard on the radio about this place, and they didn't really fully know at the time what was going on. So they felt it was important that they wanted to go. So I took them there. I was their tour guide. I'd been before. They, you know, as some older people are a little worried with traveling, so I was their tour guide. But I didn't really think about it before arriving. And then when you arrive, you get to the famous gate that says, excuse my German accent here, but Arbeit macht frei, which means work sets you free. And it wasn't until I got there, I was just so concentrated on getting my nan and granddad there and making sure that they're okay, that it just hit me again. And because it's such a dark place to visit, really awful and terrible things happened there. On the tour, you get to go to one of two main places, the second one being Birkenau, which to me is way more chilling. It looks kind of like chicken pens, if I can describe it like that. And just the thing that really set home for me was you walk around and you see all the cases in a pile, you see glasses, and you really can see the depth of how many people went there. But one thing that not many people talk about, and it was really stuck in my mind, was in the second camp that you go to in the afternoon, Birkenau, the one that I said is a bit like chicken pens. So if you got a drone and set it up to the top, you'd see literally all these different houses, and inside the house is a strong word, they're brick sheds, really absolutely cold, no insulation, of course, just somewhere to keep them to sleep. And so there's three benches that they can sleep on, and then there's other houses where they're the toilets. And during the toilets there, you know, when you go to a sink and the sink is molded for a place to put the soap, the porcelain has literally been molded so it goes down so the soap doesn't slide off. Now, the sinks at Birkenau were designed exactly the same way. And the reason for that is because they actually had inspectors come to these concentration camps, which blows my mind, because why would you have someone inspecting that you're holding someone prisoner?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how they had inspectors going there and seeing if it was a safe and healthy place to be living. It was crazy. So they were doing that to show that they did treat them well and that they did have soap, but they never had soap. Of course they didn't have soap. They were killing them almost as soon as they came into the camp if they weren't good enough to work. And it's just something that really sat with me, that there were lots of little things to make the inspectors believe that they were being treated fairly, that they were being fed good food and working conditions were okay, but obviously they weren't.
Yeah, soap holders, but no soap. It's a bit chilling, isn't it? But yeah, we would, even though it's a very sad, heartbreaking place to go, it's a recommendation. It's a top recommendation. It's an amazing place to go. It's interesting. It's heartbreaking. It's powerful. But I do think everyone should go there. In a strange way, highly, highly recommend a visit to, if you get the chance. We've been to concentration camps around the world, not just linked with World War II, but with all sorts of different conflicts. And it's a humbling experience going to places like this, but it's important to learn from history and to never repeat the same mistakes.
So on to lighter subjects. Obviously, what we've just spoken about is incredibly, incredibly important to remember, like Nick said. But, you know, there are also very joyful and lovely things in Poland. So let's get talking about them. We are going to explore Warsaw. We went on a one-day full tour with Isa. So we're going to try something a little bit different. We're taking you on an audio version of a city walking tour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, you will probably notice that we have a lot of churches, and most of them are Catholic churches. Mm-hmm. This is the St. Anne's Church. Okay, are you recording?
Yeah, okay. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not.
Ah, okay, but I will be on the recording.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It's okay, but I'm thinking about my mistakes.
No, don't worry about your mistakes. Your English is really good.
Your English is brilliant.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Nowadays, are most people religious in Poland?
Actually, it's hard to say. It's more tradition. It's more traditional. You know, I know that people are, you know, baptizing children, and then they follow all the tradition because, for instance, women want to have a beautiful wedding in the church.
Yeah.
It's more like tradition than, you know, a real faith. We have a view on the old town already, and this is one of the symbols of the old town. It's called the Sigismund's Column. It depicts a Polish king who moved the capital from Krakow to Warsaw at the beginning of the 17th century. You see that he's holding a sword, and he's holding also in another hand a huge cross. His son, Vladislav IV, the other Polish king, he wanted to commemorate his father by putting him on a huge column inside the city. But in the 17th century, you were not allowed to put on the monuments people that were not saints, or Virgin Mary, or Jesus, Christ, and suddenly, you know, in Catholic Poland, one of the Polish kings wants to make his father equal to all the saints, you know, Jesus Christ and so on. And it provoked a big scandal and a conflict with the church. So then they made an agreement. They agreed to a scandalous monument, but only if it was outside the walls of the city.
How do you say the name of Warsaw in Polish?
Warszawa.
Warszawa. So different to Warsaw.
Yeah.
Warszawa.
Oh, you said that quite well then, I think.
Thanks.
Well, no, I'm no expert, but...
We came across a museum dedicated to a man whose story is straight out of some kind of James Bond film.
What's his name?
His name was Ryszard Kukliński. Yes, he was a kind of a double agent, CIA, and he worked for the Polish army, but these were communist times. And he contacted with the Americans because he was very afraid of the nuclear war that was about to happen, actually. And he was also afraid of Poland, afraid of what will happen to Poland, because Poland, because of its location, would be like the center of this nuclear war. You know, where all this Soviet war. World with the Western world would meet. So he gave to the Americans the location of the Soviet missiles, and maybe he saved the world from the nuclear war.
Now, if you ever go to Warsaw, you'll notice that the symbol of the city is a mermaid. I feel like every city has a mermaid. But we're not on the coast, which is strange. Why are there mermaids here? Isa tells us about the legend of two mermaid sisters living in the Baltic Sea, north of Poland.
Apparently they were sisters. One day they decided to look for another place to settle. So one of the mermaids headed north and she found herself in Copenhagen. The other one swam up the Vistula River. She liked the place where Warsaw lies today so much that she decided to stay here for good. But it's not the end of the story. Oh no. The mermaid was beautiful, long hair, you know, blue eyes, and she was singing. When she was singing, everybody was mesmerized. And one crafty guy from the old town, he wanted to make money on her singing. So he had an idea to catch her, to put her in the cage, and then to charge the money from the listeners. But he did only the first part, because the mermaid, instead of performing, started to cry for help. And here is where we can expect a hero, can't we? So the shoemaker, handsome shoemaker, who apparently fell in love with the beautiful mermaid, he sneaked to the cage, he opened the cage, and he set the mermaid free. And she was so grateful for saving her life that she promised to defend Warsaw whenever Warsaw needs help. That's why she's holding a sword and a shield.
Now, I don't want to dismiss this story as fiction, but the next person that we're going to be learning about is definitely real and very famous. Maybe you didn't know that they were Polish.
So we are in the new town. The name of the street is Freta, number 16. And this is the place where the famous scientist Marie Curie was born. Her full name was Maria Skłodowska Curie. She was Polish. She was born in Warsaw in 1867 on the 7th of November. And she was really something. She was an amazing woman. She discovered two new elements, polonium and radium. And polonium is named after Poland, obviously. and she couldn't continue her education here in Poland because women were not allowed to study at the university, so she moved to Paris. There she finished her studies and she started her scientific work. She met her future husband, Pierre Curie. So the first Nobel Prize she received together with her husband and Henri Becquerel in physics, and the second Nobel Prize in chemistry for her pioneering work on radioactivity.
Continuing the history, Issa tells us about some of the ups and downs that Poland has been through.
The 17th century was, mm-hmm. was a really bad time for Poland.
Yes, was a really bad time for Poland. Actually, because of our location, always among, between big, you know, monarchies, big countries, powerful ones, we were an attractive land to attack. In the 17th century, it was a century of wars against Russia, against Sweden, against Turkey. Very turbulent period in our history.
So when was a golden age for Poland?
In the 16th century. It was the time when we formed an immense Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. In 1569, we joined with the Duchy of Lithuania, so the Polish crown formed together with the Duchy of Lithuania, a very big, powerful country, three times bigger than Poland is nowadays.
What groups of tourists, from what country does Poland get the most?
Is it the most from Germany.
German tourists.
For sure, German tourists.
Does Poland have a problem with British tourists coming here and behaving very badly, on stag do's, like bachelor parties?
You can be honest.
Yeah, you can be honest. I think the answer is yes.
As far as I heard, sometimes yes, especially Krakow. In Warsaw, we don't notice it so much. I think Krakow is more popular for bachelor parties.
Yeah.
We are sorry.
You know.
But is it, in an honest question, is it good for business, good for the economy, or is it just all bad?
I think it's good for the business and for the economy, but it's a pity that, you are coming to the city and then you don't know nothing about the city. You don't visit these places, at least to know something. I think it's a waste of time a little bit,
Time for lunch.
Mamy rezerwację, jesteśmy troszeczkę wcześniej. I like very much this soup from my childhood, the cucumber soup. This is something pretty, it's also sour, but different.
We were eating in Serena Irina. Now, like most of our episodes, I'm going to rely on the show notes. The show notes are our friends here. The show note is our friend for listing restaurant names because it's hard to pronounce them. But we were eating in a place called Serena Irina, a pierogi place. Now, pierogies are a Polish speciality, Polish delicacy. They're basically dumplings. If you've had momos in Nepal, in Asia, that's basically what they are, filled with meat or vegetable. Unfortunately, Amy, you couldn't eat any pierogies, could you?
Yeah, series 5 is getting a bit boring now, isn't it? Because I'm just constantly saying, I'm gluten-free, I can't eat it. But yeah, let's not bang on about it this time. I couldn't eat them, unfortunately. I think there are a few places around the city, if you are gluten-free, that you can go try them, but we just didn't have the time to get there.
Now, this restaurant also served other Polish dishes, one being what Issa called cucumber soup.
And she said it was one of
her, yeah, she said it was one of her favorites. Sounded rubbish to me, but I thought, I'm in Poland, let's try it. Let's try cucumber soup. I was thinking it would just taste like water, but I understand why she said cucumber. It's not cucumber. It was gherkin, pickled, like pickled gherkin soup, and it was delicious. So I'd recommend that. Let's continue the tour with a banging view of the city, which none of our listeners can see.
Okay, we are on the rooftop of the Warsaw University Library. It's a very nice place to come for free, actually. You can either spend time on the lower part, where you can have a picnic even or something, or you can go to the top and you have a beautiful view on the town. From here, you can see the city center, some high skyscrapers, the tops of them, or the Royal Castle on the other side, and on the opposite side there is a beautiful view on the Vistula River, the main river in Poland that goes through all the main Polish cities. Okay, we are right now at Francuska Street. Francuska means French Street because it's kind of an elegant, very quiet street with a lot of patisseries, bars, restaurants, nice places. We just had delicious ice cream, right?
The sun is shining.
It's really nice. Green. You see that all these buildings are not higher than 3 floors. So it's also a nice place to live, quite expensive. Because it's close to the city center, you just cross the bridge and you are in the city center. So really, really an attractive place.
Walking along this French Street, Amy just said to me, I want to live here.
Yeah, I do.
Why that?
Well, I just feel like when I say live, I mean, I think it'd be a brilliant place for digital nomads. It is just the most beautiful street. It's all long one way and like cars are going down. That's kind of the only negative really, but there's trees either side. It's really green. I mean, it obviously helps that it's super sunny today, blue skies, everybody's out eating ice cream. We've just had an ice cream and like people are walking their dogs. It's just, I just feel like in my older age of 32, like years ago, I would be like, no, I want to be in the center and like, let's go out and do stuff. But I'm just loving a stroll. Isa then took us to the alternative Praha area of the city to visit the Neon Museum, which is a celebration of neon lights. Who knew that we would care about neon lights this much? When we first went okay, cool. All right, let's go to the Neon Museum. But actually, it was very cool. During the communist times, neon lights were the only source of colour in people's lives. So yeah, you really see the breadth and depth of different businesses, and yeah, the neon lights, which is very hard to say quickly. Yeah, it was really interesting actually.
Yeah, it's like a big sign outside a hotel or a restaurant, like with the name of the hotel or name of the restaurant, big neon light. There's a famous one of like some it's like a woman, it looks like a woman's diving off the roof and she's going down the building. Do you remember?
Oh yes.
But yeah, who knew that neonism is a thing. We were watching videos in this museum of people dead seriously saying like, I've studied neonism all my life. It's like, I never knew neonism was a thing.
Yeah, before I went to the museum, I thought it was just the same as like printers. It's just like a jazzier way of having your sign. But no, there's a whole history behind it, culture. But like you said, people's careers. Yeah, it's a big thing in Poland. But then when we left that museum, all I could see was neon signs everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, not just in Warsaw, but like every city I go to now, it's like, oh, neon sign, neon sign, neon sign.
How's it go?
Neon sign, neon sign, neon sign. We'll hear more about the Praha district soon. No relation to Prague, by the way, in the Czech Republic. Or I think it's called Chechnya now. It changed the name, but no one told me about it.
Yeah, no, I think that was on the news, mate. You know, listen to the news, watch the news. Stay up to date, basically.
Yeah. I'm self-involved. Yeah, we'll hear more about this district soon. But as we're walking around some of the streets, I actually felt like I had to put our recorder away. I suddenly felt a bit paranoid and a bit like, I don't know, is this particular street we're in safe? But this is like the point of that area of town. It's a bit more edgy, basically. So we're walking down this one street, and then before even our tour guide Issa was like, actually, no, we're going to turn around. We're going to go a different way.
Yeah, I think like when you're traveling, you just get this feeling sometimes in your gut, don't you? And I think you should always listen to it. I mean, we were guessing it and then the guide said the same thing. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. You just walk past a few people and you think, I'm not sure that we should be walking down here right now. You know, places change, but I'd say it's a hipster place. You know, when somewhere's just being done up, but it's still a kind of like half and half of hipsters. And so it's a very artistic district. And when our listeners, when you guys knew that we were there, you actually wrote to us on Instagram and said, oh, make sure you go to Praha. A lot of you do love it. But all we're saying is just keep your wits about you and, you know, don't be showing off with loads of like designer bags, or I don't know, getting your phone out and camera and all this sort of tech. Just be careful, but still go.
Podcast recorder.
Exactly. Don't do that.
But close by, in this district, was our last activity of the day, the Polish Vodka Museum. We tried to record our tour around the museum so you guys could hear what was going on, but we got told off.
Let me explain you what exactly Polish vodka is. Is this for the recording?
Yeah. Okay.
I know.
Okay.
Not allowed.
Yeah, so I think a lot of you would like this vodka museum. I mean, I'm not a massive alcohol drinker, and I've been to many wine tastings, many beer tastings.
You've been to the Heineken factory?
Yeah, actually, no, that one was quite fun. But anyway, we're talking about this vodka one. So you start with your tour guide and they take you through the entire process where it goes basically from grain to alcohol. Personally, for me, yeah, I'm not an alcohol drinker, so it's not super interesting to me. And I've already seen this process many times. But if you haven't seen how drink is made, then definitely go. So it's a whole museum with writing. It's very interactive. You've also got your guide there as well. They take you all the way through. I really liked the bottle room. Do you remember the bottle room? So
yeah,
like you walk in and there's glass, thousands of glass bottles of all Polish vodka. To me, that's more interesting, looking at design and branding. So that was really pretty. And then you finally go into the tasting room. And I think if you pay, there's two different packages. You can get one that gives you three tastings. And then we were on the four tasting one. But Nick, you got a little bit drunk, didn't you?
Well, I ended up having 8 shots of vodka. Who wouldn't? Crikey.
So yeah, I passed all my drinks over to Nick just because I wasn't feeling it. You know, I do drink, but just not all the time. And I wasn't feeling it. So I smelt it and I think roughly tasted it, but I didn't drink at all, you know.
Well, I would say if the Polish Vodka Museum, if they want to put this review on their website, it wasn't disgusting. No, but vodka, I think, like being here in the UK, when I think of vodka, okay, I think of like when we're teenagers and you buy some cheap stuff from the supermarket and it's disgusting. But this wasn't. Like, this was proper good quality stuff. And when you drink it, it goes down really smooth and it feels nice and it tastes nice. So I liked it.
Because we were in there with other visitors as well. And you all had the same experience. So like different vodkas give you different experiences. And by that, I mean, some of them will be strong for your mouth and others will be like soft in the mouth. But then once you swallow it, it kind of like some of them, I think you do get like a burning sensation or not burning. It's more of like you heat up a little bit. And that was really interesting. But yeah, we had the extra taster because we were on this like larger package, thanks to the tourism board. But that also comes with like a certificate, which at the end it was like, congratulations, Nick and Amy, you've passed your vodka degree or something. And I was just like sitting there thinking, oh God, like I've barely drunk it. Everyone's looking at me like, you idiot.
And then there's at one point, I think, Amy, maybe you were like a bit bored from learning about the process of how to make vodka. And this was just before dinner. So maybe you're a bit hungry. But I feel like you were feeling a little bit confrontational because you and the tour guide, I don't know how we got on the subject of Cuba, the country. And as soon as it came up, he was like, oh, yeah, I've been there. You were like, oh, yeah, I've been Cuba too. Yeah, because of this X, Y, Z. And he was like, well, actually, I think you find in Cuba, it's this. And I'm looking back and forth and I'm thinking, what is this? What is this, a Cuba off? Like you suddenly both got really competitive about who knows Cuba the most. I'm thinking, who cares?
I don't know what came over me. You know, when you just really want to prove a point. I think we were talking about the money because in Cuba, they have two different currencies. One is CUC, C-U-C, and then there's another one. One's local and one's for tourists. And we were really trying to prove to each other who knew more about Cuba. And I was just getting into it.
It was intense. It was like only very brief, like 30 seconds, but there's a Cuba off going on. I don't know how, but that was entertaining.
I was hungry. Yeah, let's put it down to that.
Well, speaking about that, if you're happy that we've covered the Polish Vodka Museum, yeah, at the end of that day, we had dinner in Zwarta That's me pronouncing it the best I can. You're going to hear from the owner of the restaurant, who's going to pronounce it much better than me. And again, link in the show notes, because this is a genuine recommendation. This restaurant was really nice. We really liked it. And it's close by to the Polish Spolka Museum in the Praha district. We had a great chat with Adrian, or Adrian, after our meal.
Hello, my name is Adrian, Adrian Górniak, and I run Źródło, the source, spring, fountain, root, a lot of meanings, on one of the nicest districts in Warsaw, Praga, the right side of Vistula River.
Yeah, so we've just had a fantastic meal at this restaurant. Can you tell us, like, what does this restaurant offer? Why is it unique?
I think it's quite unique with the few things, actually. With the district, which I told about it, with the direction in cuisine, because we served Polish cuisine in the new way, traditional cuisine in the new way. We use mostly unknown, even for Polish people, ingredients, which we served, like I said, you in the new way. And we have the beautiful wine list. The wine is also very important for us, but as you know already, we served over here some Polish craft ciders, some Polish craft breweries, because we have a big boom, actually. The Polish people change direction and we're going to drink, and we know how to drink less alcohol breweries. We passed vodka, we're going to the wine, we're going to the beer and lighter style of drinks, right?
And can you tell me, like, about the interiors of the restaurant? Because you explained to us earlier, like, how you decorated it. So I want you to tell our listeners about it.
About the interior and design, everything I do it by myself. I haven't any background, the financial background. So I collect the money, how to say, and do it by myself. The place is quite cozy. It's all about the high of the building, of the roof, right?
Yeah, the ceilings are really high, and like
5 meters.
You have lots of like really beautiful plants, which, did you say your mum picked out all the plants?
Yeah, my mum helped me. She's retired right now, and she's not the lazy, so she gets to do something. So for her, it's also something nice to care about those plants, but work with young people.
So talking to you earlier, my favorite part was the way you spoke about the neighborhood, like where your restaurant is. So can you explain, okay, where in Warsaw are we now? And because maybe some people think it's a bad neighborhood, but what's the truth?
Of course, in the past, Praga, it's like abandoned area, kind of dangerous. A lot of autochtones lives over here, low class, maybe. Something like this, to be honest. But everything changed in the last 5 years, I guess. The young generation, open-minded people, moved over here because, you know, rental is much, much cheaper than the other parts, than the other district. We have over here a lot of young generation. We have a lot of open-minded place people. We have some galleries, some workshops. We have some, you know, small bakeries. Places like I have over here, which opened the new era of this district. For me, when I open this place, it's kind of the desert. There is nothing. So we take the risk because I love the place. Everything over here is, authentic.
Authentic.
It's authentic. So as I talk to you, when you're going through the streets and you met the people, you know which one is who. In the downtown, everywhere, everyone wear the suits, and you don't know.
Maybe this is a big question, and you can think about it. But what do you want? What do you want the world to know about Poland?
Poland have the beautiful history, beautiful cuisine, with a lot of influences. Because we are in the central part of Europe, so we have influences from the other winds, traditions and ideas, philosophies. We are very friendly when you know us. On the first step, not really, but afterwards, after few words, after small talks, you get known us as a good friends. great hosts with the big hospitality in the hearts.
Thank you, Adrian, for speaking to us. I said that name weird then, Adrian.
You did. I was going to pick you up on that.
I thought, let's just go the English way. Let's just go the English way of saying it. And then the last second, I thought, no, I'll put a bit of an accent on it. Thank you, Adrian, for having us and talking to us. It's obvious how much hard work he's put into this restaurant. And I love the fact how he loves his local district, Praha, even though, yeah, it might in some areas have a bad reputation. But I think he said it there in the interview, but what he said to me before we were recording, which I thought worded it better, he was talking about people being more authentic in this part of town. And he said, like, when you see two people, you know, that's a good person, that's a bad person. But he said, like, in the city center, more downtown, in the business district, you see someone in a suit, but you don't know if they're a good person or a bad person. And I thought that was quite a clever way to think about it.
That is good, isn't it? And I think that's why we really like traveling to these authentic places. If you just go to the city center, yeah, it's like the business district and you don't really know, you're not getting culture from it. So yeah, like, even though what we were saying about Praha earlier, that, you know, beware of yourself, absolutely still go. Like, I'm really glad that we went to that era. It really has a lot to offer. So yeah, we couldn't agree with Adrian more.
Well done. Well done.
The next day after breakfast, we went to the Palace of Culture and Science. We went all the way to the top. Now, this building reminds me of, it looks a little bit like, is it New York? What's the Home Alone film?
Yeah. New York. It looks like Empire State Building or something.
Yes.
Maybe a smaller version, but it looks, I mean, it's massive, but it looks similar.
It's really, really tall, a really grand building. And we got a little bit lost of which door we needed to go into, like, for the entrance to find our tickets. And we walked all the way around it. It took ages. So that's our biggest. It took us about 15 minutes to walk all the way around. But yeah, massive building, lots of people there. It's a very popular tourist place to go because everybody wants to go up to the top and get a view of the city.
Yeah, you can't miss it if you go to Warsaw. It's bloody massive. Yeah, and it's got a bit of a communist style building, Empire State Building / communist Russian architecture.
Yes.
Put them two things together, that's what you've got.
After we got a good view of the city, we spent the rest of the day relaxing on the beach. Yes, Warsaw isn't on the coast, but it does have a beach.
Yeah, I was impressed with it as well. The whole time we were there, by the way, because I think we were there in May, the weather was good, wasn't it? It was proper sunny and warm. It was beach weather. And yeah, so they've got a river going through the city and there is a beach on the river. And we thought, cool, the weather's good. Let's go check it out. I was expecting it to not be like good quality sand. Because we're in a city, I was expecting it to be dirty, but it wasn't. Like, I was really impressed with this beach, and they had a bar area where you can buy beers and there were loads of friends just hanging out, enjoying the nice weather. And I was super impressed for a city beach. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It was really nice and just a really nice atmosphere there. Like you said, there were lots of people hanging out with their friends, lots of families. It felt like people of Warsaw knew how to enjoy themselves. Like, it's not a capital city of, you know, just business people who are working hard and it's like the rat race. It really was that they were enjoying themselves and yeah, living their best lives in the sun.
In the show notes, if you're ever in Warsaw, definitely check it out. It's a big recommendation. But Warsaw itself, what we're going to talk about this more in a second, is a very outdoors city. It's very green. And when the weather's nice, of course that helps. But like you said, people enjoying life. I agree. It's a great place to get outside. I was surprised by that.
It's my time to get the pronunciation this time. So that night we ate at a restaurant, which is called, I don't know. I don't think they roll their R's, do they? Prodis,
yeah.
Prodis Warsawski. I actually said this was the best meal we've ever had on a press trip. It was amazing. I mean, what I ordered, I'm not sure is totally local because it was a steak, but it was incredible. Like the food at this restaurant, I would fly back to Poland just for this meal, actually, especially because I could have dessert as well. I had a meringue. Oh, my drink was one of the best drinks I've ever had. It was like a mint lime kind of cocktail thing. And it was so good. I actually might, after this podcast, book some flights and go back just for that restaurant. Honestly, it was so good.
Yeah, it's impressive that you said it was your favorite press meal. Your favorite meal you've had on any of these press trips we've ever done. There's a little man in there playing piano. It was a nice place. Although we did enjoy the other restaurants we ate at that weekend. I remember thinking it was a bit more difficult for you gluten-free wise. I know I'm mentioning it again, but I think it's useful for people. We struggled a bit in Poland, but this place just had options for you and you had a steak and you loved it. Yeah, it wasn't a local delicacy, but you enjoyed it. So who cares?
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of kind of allergies and food intolerances and food choices, what do you think about, because I guess this is a good topic for people to know when they're traveling to a country, do you think it would be good for vegetarians and vegans in Poland?
Yeah, particularly in the cities, fine. Not the best place, definitely. A lot of their dishes are meat heavy. I remember having some sort of meat wrapped in cabbage, which was delicious. In the cities, I mean, yeah, you'd have no problem. But if I'm thinking of a vegan, vegetarian paradise, other places come to mind.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
On our final day, we headed to the Chopin Monument in Royal Lazienki Park.
Lazienki.
Yeah, I don't know where I got the Z from. To the Chopin Monument in Royal Lazienki Park for my highlight of the trip, which I think you're going to be surprised about because it's not what I'm about to tell you is not normally my thing, but I just love that this is an option in Warsaw. This is a thing that you can do for free. Before we go into detail of what it actually is, Chopin, he's a big deal. Frederick Francois Chopin. The airport in the city is named after him, so you know he's a big deal. He was a Polish composer and a virtuoso pianist of the Romantic period. When was there a Romantic period, Amy?
How do you know all this? Are you reading this as a script or?
Doesn't sound like it, does it?
Although that's all above our intelligence level. I agree. This was a highlight for me as well. So it's our last day in Poland and we've just got an Uber to Chopin Monument, which is like a really large green iron. It looks iron to me. Yeah. I'm not a materials expert, but I'm going to say it's iron. It's a man sitting down with... Is that a windy tree?
It looks like it. It reminded me of Jerry Cucuara.
I was going to say, Jerry Cucuara, they have this tree that the wind always goes in one way, so it's fully bent all on one side, and that's what it looks like. But it's got a large circular pond in front of it, and we're here because between May and September, every Sunday, 12 and 4 o'clock, there is a recital, a piano recital, kind of mini concert that's free. And we're here and like there's loads of local people. Honestly, the park is absolutely stunning. It's so well kept. It's really sunny again today. And it's just really beautiful.
But just what a great place to be. I feel a million miles away from a city centre right now.
Yes.
Although we are still in the city. This park is just, it's huge. And it just offers such a nice escape from city life. And yeah, how fancy. You can just sit here and watch. You can hear someone practicing on the piano. You can hear them warming up.
Yeah.
How nice that you can just come and sit here and listen to some music and be outside.
So at 12 o'clock, we're going to be hearing Felipe Guisciano from France. He'll be doing Mazurkas Op. 17, B-flat major, number one.
And then at 4 o'clock today, when we won't be here, we've got Jakub Kuzlik from Poland.
Oh, it's a shame we're missing the Polish one.
Yeah. So earlier we saw a girl warming up on the piano, but like you said, we're going to be watching Felipe from France.
That might be Felipe. She might they might be a they.
Never assume.
Never assume. But yeah, the Polish one, I'm sad I'm missing fantasy in F minor, op 49.
Oh, that's my favourite of all the F minors. So we had an hour to kill, so we walked around the park, come back, and there are hundreds of people here now. It's packed.
Maybe even a couple of thousand, right?
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Dzień dobry Państwu. Mam ogromny zaszczyt i przyjemność powitać Państwa na recitalu inaugurującym 64. rok.
The fact that you can go to another massive green open space, obviously it helps when the weather's nice, which it was, but the fact that you can go here to this park and every weekend watch a free, like, concert, piano recital, it's brilliant. And it just made me feel like Warsaw was a classy place. The people there enjoy good things like food and being together outside and like classical music. I thought the people were high class and I was impressed, and it was just nice to be able to go out with a massive group of people, be outside and watch a free concert. I'm thinking there's not many places around the world you can do that.
I couldn't agree more. It was such a classy is just the perfect word for it. It was a very classy affair, and the fact that it was free, it was just so peaceful. I came out of there feeling really, yeah, just at peace and ready for lunch.
Oh, lovely.
Which is where we went next. So we went to lunch at a place called Koziki, which I think sounds quite Greek. Again, it's going to be in the show notes. Now, this is a place that is kind of a food hall where there's loads of different businesses. Again, quite hipster, a beautiful place to eat. So we chose a place called CMA to eat. And as we said, the weather was nice, so we were sitting outside. But if you've ever been to Lisbon, if you've been to Time Out, the food hall there is similar to that. I'm pretty sure every city has a place like this. We have a couple of them in Manchester. So yeah, just loads of different food for every single type of person. You've got vegan food, vegetarian, gluten-free, just normal if you've got no allergies and you're lucky. Like, yeah, there's loads of places to eat. It's a decent, very, very decent price. And yeah, the food was delicious. So I remember I had duck and it was perfectly cooked. And it was so lovely. Again, I just felt very classy sitting outside in the sun eating my duck.
Yeah, I remember I had a fish dish with a glass of white wine. It was a great way to end the trip. And then we went back to Chopin Airport to fly home. I'd like to sum up Poland, please. Is that okay?
Yes, you go for it.
You tell me if you agree or not. So what I would tell people about Poland is I think it's the perfect option for anyone who wants something different from like your popular tourist places in Europe, like Western Europe. So if you've been to Paris, London, Milan, Barcelona, places like that, fine, they're great. I think Poland is then your next logical option for like your taste of Central Europe. And I think it will make you hungry for more of like, and you'll want to explore more Eastern Europe. It's like, it's got a bit of everything. It's kind of like, it's a safe place to travel. Absolutely. It's cheap. It is cheap. It's good value. Yeah. Especially if you think Poland's right next door to Germany, which the price difference is amazing. Poland is great value. It's got a bit of everything. It's got cities. It's got countryside. It's got beaches. It's got good food. You can't go wrong if you want that little bit of a different European experience. And I think it would make people want to go further east and, you know, explore. If you want to be a bit more adventurous in Europe, I think Poland is the perfect stepping stone. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's kind of like the gateway. If you've only explored, yeah, typical Europe destinations, then, although I think Poland is becoming more typical. I think if we asked the majority of our friends, I'd say it's at least 50-50 of people that have been to Poland. It is definitely a popular destination. But yeah, like after visiting there, I mean, we've been there 3 times. I think that says it all, really, that we do really enjoy it there. It's very good value. The food is great. They've got really interesting history to learn about. Yeah, I think that it's got a lot to offer.
Warsaw itself, I thought it's a cool and edgy city, a big city. You need Ubers or public transport to get around, whereas we said before, if you go to Krakow, you can walk around Krakow. Very green, like I said earlier. There are 82 parks in Warsaw. I think that's amazing when a city thinks about its green spaces. It makes it a much more pleasant experience, doesn't it?
Yeah, like we said, if you're an artistic person, hipster, you like your food and you like being in green areas, but also in close distance of lots of things going on, like a city, then Warsaw is the place for you.
Great. Loved it. Yeah, like you said, 3 times I've been to Poland and I'm sure we'll go again. Before we wrap up, Amy, we've got an announcement. What are you going to tell our What the Faux listeners?
Yeah, so we only have one more episode of Series 5 to come. We haven't visited the destination yet. We will be in October 2023. It is now August 2023. So yes, we will be heading to somewhere quite different to where we've been on the podcast before. It's an exciting place where you can do things like safaris and meet lots of different animals and go to the coast, which looks a little bit like the Maldives. So we're very excited to be saying that we are on our way to Kenya next.
Yes, East Africa, baby. We haven't done much of Africa, have we? We need to do more.
No, we've done more of like North Africa, but this is a country that I see as real Africa. So I'm excited to get going with that. Like I said, we are traveling there in October, so the podcast will be coming after that. We're hoping to, as usual, get lots of local voices on, not just humans. Hopefully we'll get local voices of animals too. So that's what's coming next. But we would like to say a massive thank you to Poland and Isa for being our guide. She taught us lots and lots of things and yeah, just was a brilliant tour guide.
She was a lot of fun to hang out with, really good at her job. We enjoyed your company. Thank you, Isa, and thank you to your colleagues at Polska Travel. I can speak Polish. Do you know what Polska means?
Poland.
Yes.
Or Polish.
Poland. You speak Polish as well. Polska. So next time you hear from us, we will be in Kenya, in East Africa. See you then.
Do widzenia. I keep adding a Y into it. Do widzenia. Do widzenia. Oh, I can't say it.
Do widzenia.
Do widzenia. Keep adding a Y into it. It's the hardest goodbye I've ever had to say. Do widzenia. Do widzenia.
Nailed it. That's a hard language. Before we wrap this up, we've got a question for you.
Is your boy Tarquin going on a gap year?
Is your gal pal Rachel off to eat, pray, love herself silly?
Then the best way to support this show is to share it with all your travel buddies.
Thanks. Bye.